We do serve a great God, not only a great God, but a very gracious God. That even when we mess up, anybody ever messed up? Even when we make bad decisions, ever made any? That He is still gracious to us. We're talking about grace for today. That until Christ comes back, the arms of God are extended to us to always come home because He wants to be gracious to us. We serve a very merciful God. And we're talking about today that we need grace. If there's ever been a time in our society, it seems like this would be a good time for the grace of God to abound. Politicians can't get along. It seems like, I know I was just looking at these statistics for opioid addictions and suicides and sexual addictions and how they are rising so dramatically. It would really be a good time for the grace of God to just abound. But it never abounds until we move. Never. At one point in the ministry of Jesus, He began telling a lot of stories, what we call parables. The stories were told to convey a simple truth about God. He has just told two stories about how God longs for the lost to come back. He's told about a lost coin that was searched and it would have been very valuable. A lost sheep that has gone astray and the shepherd's trying to find him. And then he tells the crowning story that we all remember. He says a certain father had two sons. And the youngest son came to him and said, "Father, I want my inheritance now. Not after you die. I want it now. I want to spend it while I'm still young." So his father was able to sell some things off, and in a couple of days he gave it to his son, and his son took off to a wild, far country. And the Bible tells us, and Jesus in his parable says, there he wasted his money in wild living. He probably went to every party every night, paid for drinks at the bar. His brother accused him of hiring prostitutes. He went wild. And when he had plenty of money in his pockets, guess what he had? Plenty of friends. But what do you think happened when his pockets went empty? He lost his friends. And all of a sudden, he finds himself without friends, without money, without a job, and a famine strikes the land. He's what my father used to call in deep, dark, doggy-doo. But he finally gets a job feeding pigs. Boy, is it... That's a job to apply for, isn't it? They would send the pigs into the field, and there were small trees in the field that have had carob pods. If you've ever seen a tree that has like beans growing on it, they were kind of like that. That's what they're feeding the pigs. And the word tells us he became so hungry that he was craving these. But nobody offered him any. He's at what we might want to call rock bottom. Ever been rock bottom? I hear it's a good foundation to build your life on. Well, he's at rock bottom right now. And Jesus phrased it this way. And when he came to himself, have you ever came to yourself and like, whoa, what am I doing? when he came to himself, he says, I'm starving, I don't have anything, and my father is still a rich man and has servants. This will I do. I will go back to my father, whom I have mistreated, whom I have demanded my inheritance from, whom I left. I will go back to him and say, Father, I've sinned against you and before God. Would you hire me as a servant? Just let me work in the fields, but I need food to eat. Would you hire me, Dad? So he begins that long walk back home. And you know, as every step he's taking, he's rehearsing exactly what he's going to say. He's thinking, I'm going to get home, walk up to the door, knock on the door. My dad's going to open the door. Hope he doesn't slam it in my face. And I'm going to say, Father. And then Jesus turns the story as a good storyteller does. Says, and while he was a distance away, he could see the farm, but he still had a distance to travel. His father, who had been looking for him, hoping for him, praying for his return, is looking down that road. Have you ever, I remember as a boy sometimes ordering something. I think I shared the story with you. When I was a boy, I sent in two Kellogg's box tops and 50 cents for a Superman belt. I'm still waiting on it, by the way. But if you recall, if you've ordered something and you almost stand at the door waiting on those people to bring it and deliver it, he's looking, anticipating his son's return, and he sees him. He recognizes his walk. He knows it's his boy. And as Jesus tells the story, and Jesus is telling this story about his father, he's trying to convey the truth about God. And when the father saw him yet a great ways off, he ran to him. He ran to him. Son didn't have to come all the way. The father ran to him and hugged him and embraced him. And while the son is trying to give his speech, while his son is trying to say, Father, forgive me, the father is crying and weeping and calling the servants in. And he says, bring sandals for his feet. Bring a robe, a ring on his finger. Kill the fatted calf. For my son that was dead is lost, or was lost is alive and has been found. Let's party. His father ran to him. What an amazing story. The scripture passage I want us to focus on today is in Luke 15, 13 through 16. I want to just spend a couple of minutes talking about why we so need God's grace. Beginning at 13th verse, he says, not many days, it says, not many days after he demanded his inheritance, the younger son gathered together all he had and traveled to a distant country, for he squandered his estate in foolish living. Man, I've been foolish. I suspect I'm not alone. After he had spent everything, a severe famine struck that country, and he had nothing. Then he went to work in a field to feed the pigs. He longed to eat from the carob pods that the pigs were eating, but no one gave him any to eat. Four simple points. We need grace today. Oh, we need grace today. Number one, because our sin separates us. He demands what is his. Now, his brother's not even introduced to the end of the story. But how do you think his brother feels with all of a sudden his younger son demanding his inheritance, and he's going. It means that the farm is getting smaller, and the older brother's workload just increased. Did the younger brother care? No. The fact that it was breaking his father's heart, did the younger brother care? No. At this point, life revolves around him. Am I happy? Am I getting what I want? Am I getting what I feel like I deserve? He left his father behind. He left his brother behind. Sin always separates us from other people. Always does. I was looking at an article a couple of days ago about teens that get just tired at home and run away. Thousands fill our cities, separated from moms and dads. They're open prey to the sex traffickers and drug pushers. Sin separates. The wife cheats on the husband, or the husband on the wife, and sin separates. The marriage falls apart. I've done a number of weddings where the couple will caution me before the service. If so-and-so arrives, we may have trouble. Well, is all your family going to be here? Well, my sister will not be here. We haven't spoken in years. I remember one young couple, after I'd done some counseling with them, I asked them, is there anything else I can do as we prepare for the wedding? They said, pray there not be any drama, because sin separates. Sin causes divisions. Sin causes conflict. It drives children from parents, separates moms and dads. One of the issues that we're facing within our society today is children being forced to come up in single homes with one parent trying to raise them. And we've got parents here doing that, and I think they're doing a good job. But I'm telling you, it's not the way God intended it. It's supposed to be a partnership. The kids will hurt for it. One parent cannot do the task of two. Can't do it. Not only does sin separate us from family, it separates us from God. Adam and Eve are in the Garden of Eden. They sin. They're removed from the Garden of Eden. Cain kills his brother Abel. Cain is removed from the family and the society. When we sin, we sever our relationship with God. The prophet said our sin separates us from God. One of the reasons that we are so prone to go into different sexual exploits, or try going to alcohol and drugs, or to lose ourselves in games, is because there's a void in our life. There's an emptiness. Remember what that French physicist Blaise Pascal said? There is in the heart of every person a God-shaped vacuum that only God can fill. But when you're separated from God, there's this void. There's this emptiness. There's this black hole inside of us. And if you know anything about physics, emptiness always is pulling in to be filled. Fill it with something. Fill it with anything. Sin separates us from God. We begin to try everything, and yet the heart still longs for God. The heart is reaching out, trying to find peace. And the only place that we will ever find it is in Christ. It is the only place. Christ is the only place that we will find hope, forgiveness, and restoration. We need grace today because sin has separated us. Number two, we need grace today because sin bankrupts us. He squandered his estate in foolish living. He spent everything. At one point, before he spent it, it was called wealth. The man had some money in his pocket. But sin will always lead us to bankruptcy. And you know what bankruptcy is. Bankruptcy is when you've got nothing. I've had several people who have gone through financial bankruptcy, friends of mine, who have told me how hard it was. Because when you go through bankruptcy, it means I messed up. I failed. There's nothing I can do about it. I need official government forgiveness so I can try to get my life back in order. It's very humbling. But we can be in bankruptcy so many ways other than just financial. We've seen people become bankrupt emotionally. They just can't handle any stress of any kind. We've seen people become bankrupt in their lives as far as finding anything good in their life. It's like, what are they doing? Where are they going? Why do they keep making these choices that keep taking them down the same paths? When you are bankrupt, you begin to beat yourself up. My dumb decisions. Why did I do that? Anybody here ever say, why? Why? Why did I buy that? I didn't need that. Why? Why did I make that investment? Why did I go out with them? Why? Because we make bad decisions. Bad decisions lead to trouble. Good decisions lead to life. Everything's about decisions. Everything. Some friends invite you to a party. You choose to go to the party. Questionable decision. At the party, they say, hey, some of us are going out back and we're going to have some fun. We got some drugs. We're going to feel good. Want to come with us? Sure, why not? Bad decision. I'll make you this promise. No alcoholic ever said, yeah, I'll go out back and become an alcoholic. Or I'll go out back and get hooked on drugs. They never put the two together that you're opening a door that you don't know what's going to come driving through. It bankrupts us. Everything that is good in our life, strong in our life, is taken from us. We need to think about our decisions, plan, pray, seek guidance. Not this young man. He had one thought. I want to have fun. The other day, I was around several homeless people. And three of them had shopping carts. Every earthly possession they had was in that shopping cart. Everyone. And one of them got those shopping cart that we always get at the grocery store that doesn't push. You know what I'm talking about. Not only was everything in the cart wouldn't push. Don't you feel kind of like yes, how life is sometimes? Bankrupt. That's what sin does. Sin brings us to a point and we don't know what to do. It is so abundant today. And pull your phone out of your pocket and go deep into sin and the debauchery of pornography. You can buy drugs on the street and sexual addictions abound, even beginning sometimes as early as middle school. We don't have to go far to find sexual addictions in our culture today. But only in Christ is the restoration. Only in Christ. We are not strong enough to do it ourselves. When he came to his senses, have you ever felt like this? You just wanted to walk up to somebody and say, "What are you thinking? What are you thinking?" They're not thinking. They're reacting. But in Christ, there is forgiveness, first of all. We are made right with God. God comes into our lives. And then there's restoration of that relationship. And then God puts you on a path. Now, I'm not telling you that if you're bankrupt, because God forgives you and restores you spiritually, that you're going to all of a sudden have money in the bank and your life's going to be in order. That's a process of beginning to make wise decisions in Christ and beginning to walk along that road. But everything is in Christ, every hope. He is our only hope for restoration. Number three, sin blinds. A severe famine struck that country, and he had nothing. If you know anything about the Bible, then you know that famines were frequent in biblical days, as they are today in the Middle East. Wise is the person who puts a little bit back for rainy days, amen? Because we know they're coming. He was blind to the fact that hard times could be right around the corner. And besides that, he had all these friends. I've been buying for them, spending money on them. Surely if I get in trouble, they'll step up and help me. Oh no, you'll be on your own, trying to navigate a world that cares nothing about you or what you're going through. Sin blinds us. The Bible even talks about sin blinds us to hearing the message of God and the voice of God. It's like, I don't hear it. When he was demanding of his father, "I want what is mine now, not later." Immediate gratification. Is that not what our society seems to be singing today? The same God that spoke to him when he came to himself was speaking to him then. He just wasn't listening. Sin blinds us to the voice of God. Do you honestly think that you're going to hear the voice of God at a wild party? Wild living? No. So you know what God does? God allows us to come to the end of our rope. God allows us to fall flat on our face. God allows us to lose everything and lay flat. And then we muster the energy to roll on our back and look up. And say, "God, I think I might need help." God allows us to hit rock bottom so that we can begin a new foundation in our life. This is what happened to that young man. His life has spiraled out of control. He's hit rock bottom. But on rock bottom, he says, "What am I doing?" I will seek forgiveness. I will seek restoration. And he begins to build his life again on that foundation. Oh, it's a great place to build your life. Parents, you can't and should not always try to bail your children out. They don't need to think there's always somebody going to step up and help me. They need to understand that sometimes failure is fatal. And I may have to suffer the consequences of my decisions, that they might hit rock bottom and then make good decisions. Only in repentance and returning to God are our eyes ever really opened. Number four, sin empties. He longed to eat his fill from the carob plants that the pigs were eating. It was not part of the human diet. It was fed to animals. But no one would give him any. He had nothing. Totally empty. No visible hope. No resources to rely on. No friends. He had hit rock bottom, but the good thing about rock bottom, there's only one way to go from there. And that's up. Then the Bible says he remembered. Oh, if we don't sometimes just need to sit back and think, meditate. He remembered his boyhood coming up. Maybe he remembered playing with some of the kids of the servants, and they ate pretty good too. They had warm, soft places to sleep. And I'm sleeping with the pigs. He remembered. He remembered where he used to be and where he was, and he's thinking, maybe I can get back. And Jesus coined the phrase, and when he came to himself, he made a decision. Remember I told you, life hinges on decisions, every one of them. Who you decide to marry, where you decide to work, how you decide to spend your money, how you decide to find your joy. And I hope you find joy in family and friends in Christ and not in some chemical or excitement that's going to be so fleeting and so quick. He made a good decision. I'm going to go back. What he didn't know was that his father had been praying for him, looking for him, anticipating his return. And remember, Jesus is telling this story about our Father. And then he began his journey. Any of you ever decided to go on a diet? Monday? You know what I'm talking about? Well, I'm going to go on a diet, lose some weight. Monday. It's one thing to make a decision. It's another thing to put it in process and begin to go. The evangelist Billy Graham defined repentance as turning around. He said, when you're in your sin, you are walking away from God. You are doing your own thing. You are your own boss. It's about me and my way and my plan. And then some way God's going to speak to you. And you will reach a point of decision. And if you decide to repent, then you turn around and you begin to walk back to God. That's to repent. That's to change. He began his journey. Where are you in your journey? Have you come back to the Father and found his arms wide open to embrace you? So he's walking and rehearsing the words. He sees the house in a distance. Maybe his heart speeds up a little bit as he knows confrontation is coming. Am I going to see my dad first or my brother? Who am I going to see first, and what are they going to say? So as he's approaching, he's rehearsing what could happen. And then he looks and he sees someone coming toward him. Takes him a second, because maybe, guys, I can remember, I'm trying to recall as an adult, I never saw my father run. Never. I don't think I would have recognized him running. And guys, as we start getting older, it'd be kind of hard, wouldn't it, running. But he looks up and he sees this guy running toward him, and maybe he thinks they've called the cops on me. I don't know. And then he sees it's his father. Maybe his dad's already got his arms out. But his father runs to him and embraces him, hugs his neck. And restoration is complete. Don't you long for that kind of restoration in your life? We need it. We all need it. But it's not going to happen until we decide, I've got to do something different, and I'm going to go to my Father and see if He'll take me back. And I will promise you, He will take you back. Remember, that is why Jesus told the story. He painted a picture in stories of what God is like. I have a song for you this morning. We listened to it last week, but this one has a little bit different video. When I saw God run. Guys, would you stand with me, please? With every head bowed and every eye closed. Not going to embarrass you or single anyone out today, but I know that the Holy Spirit convicts at different times in our lives. And I just wonder if there's anyone here today that would maybe slip your hand up and say, Pastor, pray for me. I need God's open arms in my life. So someone else, just pray for me. Someone else. I need God's open arms in my life. Someone else. Thank you. Thank you. Oh, you serve a great God. He doesn't have to do anything any different. You have to do something. Pray this prayer with me. Father, forgive me. Father, forgive me for being so arrogant. So always feeling that I'm right, for being so demanding, for always putting me first. Father, forgive me. Cleanse me, O Lord. Wash away my sins. Lord, come back into my life and fill my heart. Fill me with your assurance of forgiveness. Fill me with your love and your mercy and your restoration, Lord. Lord, have mercy. Lord, I run to your arms today. Love me. Love me, Lord. Father, strengthen me to make decisions pleasing in your sight. Restore me as your child. May from this day forward I act like a child of the King and live like a child of the King. With forgiveness experienced, restoration begun. Father, thank you. Thank you. If you prayed a prayer or something like that today, would you just acknowledge before God, Father, did you hear my prayer? Just slip your hand up. Are the others? Thank you. I'll promise you, He heard your prayer. He is faithful. Father, have thy way in my heart and have your way in our lives. In Jesus' precious name we ask it, and for his kingdom's sake. Amen. Would you be seated, please?